So I am standing on a driving range in Charlotte, North Carolina, in the presence of a very gifted young British golf pro named Luke Smith. And Luke asked me, "Dr. Krimmer, what is it that you want me to teach you?" And I said, "Luke, I want you to teach me how I can draw my driver from right to left." And he said, "Dr. Krimmer, I'm already in my 30s. I'm not sure I have time to teach you that skill." But he gave me some advice and then watches me swing and he says, "Dr. Krimmer, you've got to stay inside the ball and close your club head more quickly." I said, "Luke, that's what I'm doing." He said, "No, Dr. Krimmer, that's what you think you're doing. But the ball flight and your divot tells you otherwise. Perception is one thing, but reality is another." And I laughed and said, "Luke, that could go for a whole lot of things in my life. The disparity between what we think we're doing and what we're actually doing." That gives us insight into this wonderful little passage where this young man comes to Jesus and falls before him and says, "In all earnestness, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And our Lord says, "You know, keep the commandments." And he lists all the commandments having to do with interaction with people. Do not kill, do not steal, do not defraud, do not bear false witness, do not commit adultery, honor your father and mother. And the young man says earnestly, "I have kept all of these. I've kept the commandments since I was a child." And the scripture has this wonderful note. Jesus, looking upon him, loved him. He saw such potential in this young man, such earnestness, such goodness. There was a real spiritual gift there. But he also saw something else. "There's one more thing you need to do. Go sell all of your possessions. Give the proceeds to the poor and then come follow me." And the young man went away devastated. Why? The young man thought he had kept all of the commandments. He thought he was following in the paths of righteousness. That was his perception. But Jesus has peered into his heart and seen reality. The reality is he had failed the very first commandment. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." He realized this young man's true deity was his wealth. His true identity was tied up in his portfolio. His self-worth was gauged by his possessions. He thought he had kept the commandments, but he had disobeyed the very first one. In reality, he had another god ahead of God, all that he owned. And the difference between perception and reality devastated him. We enter into a season of Advent, a celebration that is full of hustle and bustle. Let's make no denial of the fact that most of us haven't already bought our Christmas presents. There is much that lies ahead of us in terms of commitments. Our entire month ahead of us is a swirl of hustle and bustle and activity. And all the while, we are sure there is no other God before us but God. But I ask you, as you take stock of your life, as you catalog how you spend your time, where you spend your money, what orients you're being in the coming weeks, is it really the worship of God? Or are there other gods that are ahead of your devotion to God? The stewardship of your time, your resources, your energy, is it prioritized by God? Or prioritized by gods who supersede God? We perceive that we keep Christ first in Christmas. But does our perception match reality? We come to our Lord's table. We come, hopefully, with a teachable spirit. We come seeking to be taught by the Christ who emptied himself for us. What does it mean to truly practice the love of God? When we eat, when we drink, we do it in remembrance of Christ, not as a past event, but as a role model for how we live. We can learn from Christ, from his example, how to be more gracious, how to be more generous, how to be more loving, how to be more forgiving, how to live with a faith that is more magnetic. We come to this table, hopefully with a teachable spirit. Christ asked us, as that golf pro asked me, what do you want me to teach you? Our answer should be to live more, O Lord, like you. As we come to this table, as we take this bread, as we drink this cup, may we evince a teachable spirit that allows our perception of our righteousness to align with the reality embodied in Christ. Come. Come to this table and let us truly adore him. For I received from the Lord what I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The same way, the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I offer you invitation this morning to the table of our Lord. Anyone who claims Christ as Savior is invited to participate. It's not Dr. Krimmer's supper. It's not Bineville Baptist Church's supper. It is the supper of the Lord Jesus Christ. And anyone who would claim him as Christ is invited to partake, to do it in remembrance of your Lord.